Good morning, everyone. And welcome, especially to those that are here visiting. And I look forward to getting better acquainted with you as time goes by. Solomon wrote in Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 13 that people should eat, drink, and be merry, and enjoy the fruits of their labors, and that is a gift from God. However, these gifts have expiration dates. And if you want to enjoy what you have worked so hard for, remember that there is a deadline. Now, that's what we call a scheduled time when something has to be finished. But that isn't always what the word meant. Back in the Civil War, the deadline was a line that prisoners of war might not cross or they would be shot dead. And years later, some 50 years later, newspaper journalists began using the word to describe the time at which they had to have their article into the editor's office or else it wouldn't be published. There was no threat of death. All of us live with deadlines of one kind or another. And every deadline that we face with each passing moment gets closer and closer. It was Job that said in chapter 14 in verses 1 and 2, man who is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. He comes forth like a flower and fades away. This sounds a little like something James spoke about. But the psalmist agreed with Job's assessment of the brevity of human life. As he said in Psalm 90 and verse 10, the days of our lives are 70 years, and if by reason of strength they are 80 years, yet their boast is only labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. But since a deadline is always on the horizon, we ought to sober up and think about what needs to be done before that line arrives. The Bible has a lesson for us in Psalm 90 and verse 10, where the psalmist said, so teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Wisdom is trying to tell us not to waste our time, but to use it wisely and to prepare for what is ahead. We only have a limited supply of it. It is a limited commodity, and all we have is all we're getting. It's like that poem, I only have just a minute, only 60 seconds in it. Forced upon me, can't refuse it, didn't seek it, didn't choose it, but it's up to me how to use it. And I must suffer if I lose it, give account if I abuse it. Just a tiny minute, but eternity is in it. Of all of the gifts that God has given us, time is probably one of the most valuable. But too often, we live our lives as if the clock will never stop. But time is exactly that. And it keeps on ticking. And though this gift has an expiration date, the date is not stamped on the package that it comes in. None of us know how much exactly we have. But we do know at some point that time will end. How many more things might we put off thinking that we have plenty of time to do it later? Perhaps you have read in James 4 and verse 14, whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. That vapor which appeared is only apparent for a tiny amount of time. And then it disappears, And that makes God's gift of time ever more valuable as the seconds pass. You might suppose that time is important, but it might be considered to be the third most valuable gift that we have. First of all, God gave us all a soul. And Jesus said in Matthew 16 and verse 26, that even if a man gains the whole world, he won't have enough to exchange for the soul that he received from God. And then we have been given the gift of salvation through Jesus Christ. And there is nothing more important but that soul that we have received, the one that needs the salvation that God gives us. It exists in time here upon this earth. And because our time is limited, time is just as valuable as anything else we have. But the devil has a mind trick, and he likes to play it on everybody, and too bad for us, we willingly go along with it. We look at the sunrise from time to time every day, throughout the days. It appears again tomorrow and then the next day. And as long as we stay away from the cemetery, we can suppose that we have all the time in the world. And then we're tempted to squander away the moments that we have left. Instead, we could gain wisdom and insight from getting better acquainted with the Word of God. And don't think that I am suggesting that everybody sits around all day with a Bible on their lap. We need to study every day. But if we're going to be led by the Holy Spirit, there are plenty of other equally important tasks that God asks for us to accomplish before that final deadline. And if we learn anything from the Lord, it will be from Colossians 4 and 5 that says, walk in wisdom toward them, toward those who are outside, redeeming the time. That word to redeem literally means to buy it back, but it is actually saying to make good use of the time that we have. We have been commissioned by God to interact with other people in the world, including those who are lost and dying. And we need to show them the love of God to lead them to salvation, that they might also have hope. And therefore, we need to use our time intentionally. And we shouldn't let the moments just slip away, but we need to live on purpose and with a purpose. And if you aren't sure about your purpose, here is a good place to start in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 15. See then that you walk circumspectly. Now, literally, the word was implying to look all around you. But it's saying to us that we need to be alert about what is going on in our lives and in the world today. And verse 17 says, therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. God is calling us to use time purposefully and prayerfully so that we will act wisely, seeking, listening, and praying for guidance from God, that we will know the best way for us to use the time that we have. So we should make the most of it, knowing that we will give an account for every gift that God has given us. And sure, God knows us. He knows we're human. He knows sometimes we get distracted. His everlasting love and his divine patience keeps calling again to us to focus and to live for the purpose that he has called us to. He wants us to serve him, to demonstrate his love and influence others while we are serving him here on earth, thereby passing wisdom on to others so that they also will grow to appreciate God's wonderful gifts that he has given us, including the gift of time. But all those deadlines keep on coming. The employers and the families and the neighbors and the communities in which we live, just like that guy with the abundant crops in Luke chapter 20, he faced the deadline of harvest and he had to make plans for what to do when all of the grain came in. So he tore down his barns and he built bigger ones to hold the bounty of his harvest. So we also ought to make plans, but not to store everything that we have selfishly. Christians, it's impossible for us to withhold the love of God from others and still be Christians. It's impossible for us to not share the gospel of Jesus Christ if we're Christians. So let's evaluate our daily schedules and balance our interest here on earth with the heavenly calling so that we might treasure the moments that God has given to us. Let's assess all the ways that we spend our time. If not for the next few days, let's do it for a week or a month. And then we can evaluate how we are spending the time that we have that is discretionary. There's not much reason to keep account of the time you spend sleeping or eating or performing those things that are necessary to sustain life. Everybody has to do that. But what do we do with the time that we may choose what we will do with it? We might ask ourselves, how would God want us to use the time that we have available? What activities are the most important according to the Scripture? And there will be some easy answers when we ask those questions. What should I do on Sunday morning at 10 a.m.? The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 2, upon the first day of the week, let each of you lay by in store as God has prospered. What do we do with the time that God has blessed us with? You see, when all of the saints are gathered, we should use that time for the best purpose that we can. Christians who become aware of their higher calling know that spiritual endeavors are far more important than just passing the time away. That kind of discernment will also be helpful for us as we evaluate the time that we use throughout the rest of the week. And here's a tool from God to help us in using our time. In James chapter 1 and verse 5, the scripture says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Why not ask God, how should we plan our day? Why not ask God, how should we plan our week or our month? A lot of people talk about a 5-year plan, and they even go to the extent of writing down their goals. What about consulting God, who has already written the goals that Christians should have? It's important for us to think about these things, even as Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of heaven, kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. But once we begin employing heavenly wisdom, we will be more capable to concentrate on the calling from God. You won't even be tempted by your friends who ask you to go out on a Sunday when the church is assembled to play golf or to go fishing. No, instead you'll focus on the more important things: praying and studying and encouraging the saints, teaching the lost, and engaging in the good works that bring glory to God. Now, I have a word of caution for everyone in the assembly that uses the technology gadgets that we are all so familiar with. All of those gadgets are supposed to help us save time and make life better and easier. But is it possible that we allow those gadgets to take over and steal our time and maybe even keeping us awake when we should be asleep, or preventing us from engaging in good works instead when we're spreading gossip on social media? Let's use good sense with that smartphone or laptop or tablet or computer. And there are a lot of things that can be done that are good many of the members here that have smartphones carry a Bible app on the smartphone, so they have a Bible with them everywhere they go, and in their spare moments that they have discretionary time, they can choose to read a few verses to be inspired by. If you have a Bible app on your smartphone, good on you. However, many of us have wasted too much time on another gadget of technology that's been around a long time, and that's the television set. But also there are others who spend endless hours on social media or monitoring the news with their news apps that makes them even more nervous throughout the day. But we should ask ourselves and pray to God for wisdom so that we might know the best way to use our time. By doing so, we can break those old bad habits of those time-sucking, fruit-killing, zeal-sapping use of technology, so that whatever we do in word or deed, we might do all to the glory of God. One of the biggest regrets that people have at that final deadline, and I've talked to several who were right there before it, is that they didn't spend enough time with their loved ones. Well, if we ask for wisdom from God and we evaluate how we're using our time, we won't have to worry about future regrets if we trim away those time wasters and prioritize our time the way that God would have us. So let's spend it more wisely and with people who matter. Do you remember what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 25 and verse 37? That specific verse says, "Then the righteous will answer him, saying, 'Lord, when did we see you?'" That word "when" in the text acknowledges the element of time that was being spoken about. Specifically, the time when the righteous had seen Jesus and had come to his aid. We want to be able to answer that question properly, don't we? Let's make time to serve God a priority. He gave us the time in the first place, so we should express our gratitude in the ways that we use this gift that God has given. Now, I recognize that we all have time commitments. Because we live in a world that is governed by the clock, employers expect things to be done in a timely manner. The government expects taxes to be paid and collected on time. Families make commitments to one another. And I know that you have read that familiar passage in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. "To everything there is a season, and a time for every purpose under heaven." Those words are from the wisest man that God ever appointed as king over his people Israel. Solomon knew the value of time. And if we understand there is a season and a purpose for everything under heaven, we'll also understand that there is never a season to waste time, to procrastinate, or to rebel against God. And he's calling us to live with purpose, to live with wisdom, and to use our time properly. And in the book that was made into a movie called Alice's Adventure in Wonderland, the character called the White Rabbit was running around in circles saying, I'm late for a very important date. And he had this oversized pocket watch that was almost larger than him. And the White Rabbit was unable to remember what it was for which he was late. All he could remember was that he was late. Every one of us have some very important dates. And for one of those dates, whether we remember what it is for or not, not a single one of us is going to miss it or even be late for it. And that time is a final deadline described in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27. "It is appointed unto man once to die, but after this the judgment." Nobody is going to be late for that appointment. God is the one who makes it. God is the one who furnishes the transportation, and nobody will be able to say, my car broke down, or I have somewhere else to be. But there is another equally very important date, and I suppose in the eternal scheme of things, it's even more important than that future date, because in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2, the scripture says, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. And through the Lord Jesus Christ, God is willing to pardon and save everyone who believes enough to obey his word. God is willing to show compassion even on us who are so profligate with the gifts that he gives to us. We can't do anything about the time that we wasted yesterday or last week or last year. That time has already passed under the bridge called oblivion, and it's never coming back. Because none of us know if there will even be a tomorrow. And yesterday is gone. Today is the present, and it's a present from God. And in fact, all we have is this present moment. Now, please don't let this moment slip away, along with the habit of having squandered the time that has been lost in the past. Moses learned an important lesson about time management back in Exodus chapter 18 and verse 17. After he had received the law, he made it known to the people, and then everybody that had some kind of beef against another came to Moses to try and get rectification for some perceived wrong. He was exasperated by the time spent trying to resolve everybody else's problems. In fact, in Exodus 18, beginning in verse 17, it was Moses' father-in-law that said to him, both you and these people who are with you will surely wear yourselves out, for this thing is too much for you. You are not able to perform it by yourself. Now, I would propose that there are a lot of things that God has assigned the church to do that not a single one of us is able to do at all. That's why we are together members in the body of Christ, and jointly we work together to accomplish the will of God. But back to Moses, verse 19. It was Jethro that said, I will give you counsel, and God will be with you. Stand before God for the people, so that you may bring the difficulties to God, and you shall teach them the statutes and the laws. Select from all the people able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place such over them to be rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, and rulers of ten, and let them judge the people. Then it will be that every great matter they shall bring to you, but every small matter they themselves shall judge. So it will be easier for you, for they will bear the burden with you. Have you read in the scripture? Bear one another's burdens. The Apostle Paul wrote that in the book of Galatians to a group of Christians that probably weren't doing so good at it. But God used Jethro, a priest of Midian, to impart wisdom to Moses. Moses had been worn down by living too much in the moment. Moses needed a plan for events that he knew was coming, and each of us in the body of Christ, as we all have various gifts and abilities, should understand that God gives us time and his plan, that we might edify one another and support one another in the church. And let's not get exasperated like Moses did, supposing that we can do it all by ourselves. Let's reach out to others, and all the more important for us to get better acquainted with one another, so that we might know the various gifts and abilities that one another has, and then we might work together in the body of Christ to build our strength, to encourage one another, to give assurance. After all, that's the Lord's plan in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 16. according to the effective working by which every part does its share, cause growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love, taking time to know each other's talents and abilities will help us all to see greater opportunities to use the gifts that God has given us, including our time. However, timing is very important. We could potentially miss out on opportunities to serve if we just stay too busy grasping at the wind. There was a fire that started in the grassland of one farmer's place, and the grass fire quickly spread. He called the fire department, and they came out, but by the time they got there, it was too big for them, so they put out a call to the volunteer fire department nearby, who promptly came with an old rattle-bang fire truck that looked like it was made in 1950, and as they came rolling down the road, burling into the fire, they slowed to a stop, and immediately all of the volunteer firemen jumped out and started spraying water every which way to try and put out the fire. The farmer was so impressed with the zeal and enthusiasm of the volunteers that on the spot he wrote them a check for $1,000 and said, "Thank you so much for the good thing that you've done for me. You saved my farm." A reporter had gathered there on the scene with cameras, and they asked the volunteer fire department chief what he was going to use to spend the money on. And he said, "The very first thing, it should be obvious, we're going to get the brakes fixed on that truck." I hope that you don't wait for an emergency to seek God. I hope that it's not too late and you see fire all around you. As a matter of fact, God is speaking to you now in His Word, and if you will understand, you will recognize that He wants you to pay attention to what's going on around you, to pay attention to other people, but there are just some times when you need to take the time to be alone with God. And I'm going to suggest to you that just like Jesus, everything that was big, every big decision, every big undertaking, the Lord prayed to God when He was going into the wilderness, when He was feeding the 5,000, when He was in Gethsemane preparing for the cross. There was the Savior with God alone praying. When we see those big decisions in our life being so important, we can't leave God out of the plan. We too will get alone by ourselves and we'll pray to God and we'll ask for wisdom. We might not know how God is going to answer and show us the right course of action. We might sometimes be scratching our heads for years wondering, was that God's plan? But in time, we will understand better by and by. As He speaks to us in His Word, we will understand better what His will is for our lives. You know, if you apply yourself and you work hard, more than likely here upon the earth, your paycheck will grow. And if you save your money and you invest wisely and you wait for a while, you're probably going to see your nest egg grow. But no matter how smart you are or how wisely you invest or how hard you work, you will never, ever be able to create more time. And though some physicists have suggested that the sun is going to burn out in less than 5 billion years, none of us will have that much time to get done the things that we think are important. But if we seek the Lord and we obey His word, we can rest assured that when the last tick has talked, when time is no more, when we find ourselves there standing before the judgment bar, and the Lord is asking us to give an account for the time that we have used, we'll be able to answer, in such a way that we'll hear the Lord reply, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your Lord." Eternity cannot be measured in time. And since eternity is forever, it is so important to use the time that we have now to prepare to live in eternity. Jesus died on the cross to save us from our sins. He rose the third day to show us that what he was saying was from God and that he had the power over death, so that when he returns and he says, "All rise," we're all going to be caught up into the afterlife. But if we believe in him, we have to believe in what he says. And Jesus said, "Repent and believe the gospel." Mark chapter 1, verse 15. Jesus also said, "He who confesses me before men, him will I confess before my Father in heaven." Matthew chapter 10, verse 32. And then Jesus said, "He who believes and is baptized shall be saved." Mark 16, verse 16. Now, will you be saved in eternity? If you will, now is the time to make your preparation. If there's any way that we can assist you, reach out while we stand and sing the song of encouragement.